Kelly Holcomb, he's done a lot of things, but probably right now, I would really put at the top of his resume that he's fine offensive coordinator at Riverdale High School. They're 3-1 on the year, 1-0 in the season. Of course, 14-year, 15-year NFL veteran, MTSU Hall of Fame quarterback, and just a good guy. Kelly, good morning. What's up, man?
What's up, Greg, man? That's a lot of accolades, man. I don't know if I'm deserving of all that.
No, man. I mean, I crossed.
You really lathered it up there, right there, dude.
Man, I just got started, man. Do you want me to keep going? I mean, Lincoln County?
I don't even remember all that you're talking about.
Well, there you go. Maybe this is as much for your therapy as anything else. So how about that?
Could be. I don't know. Could be. That was great. I appreciate it. Yeah. I didn't know I did all that stuff.
Well, you did. Say hello to Big Joe.
What's up, Joe? How you doing, brother?
I'm good, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well.
Well, hey, I want to ask you really right away. The Riverdale Warriors, 3-1, 1-0 in the region. Just and of course, Oakland is what it is. I know Blackman's in there as well. But how you Warriors doing? It's funny to say you're Warriors, but how they doing?
Well, we're doing okay. We had a letdown last week. I mean, those guys, I think they started reading their press clippings and, you know, just thought that you could just walk off the bus and beat a really good Smyrna team who's, you know, they haven't played up until their potential yet. And they did the other night. They kind of hit us in the mouth, and it was a little disappointing. We didn't, you know, we came out flat. We never could, you know, they just beat us. I mean, that's just what it really boils down to. We, you know, couldn't get anything going, you know, offensively. They did a good job of game planning us, and, you know, I was kind of frustrating, but yeah, we, you know, 3-1 is okay. We do, you know, Oakland is Oakland. We'll see. And Blackman has got some really talented kids. They've gotten off to a rough start too, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. We finally got some dudes and, you know, just hopefully we can bring this thing back together this Friday and see how we go.
It's every Friday. I mean, it's like, who's next? I mean, the team you play the next Friday night is better or just as good as the team you played before, and it never ends. There's never an easy week in high school football.
No, there really isn't. And you never, you know, the kids, you never, Joe, know how they're going to react to things. I mean, because, you know, coaches always talk about it, even when I played in the pros and in college, you know, you always talk about your best every game, but every game is not your best. And sometimes you have to win ugly, and, you know, sometimes you get beat when you step off the bus. I mean, sometimes you start thinking that you're really better than you are, and every week you have to, you know, you have to line up on that football field, and you have to play your best, and you have to focus on the game. And, you know, you're dealing with 15, 16, 17, sometimes 18-year-old kids, and, you know, they've got so many things to do now, and that's the thing that, you know, that's the thing that's frustrating to me. I mean, they don't, you know, there's some kids that do, but most of the kids nowadays, it's not like when we were growing up, when I was growing up, where, you know, I wanted to be a Lincoln County Falcon. That's what I dreamed about being. Well, they've got so many things to do now with their, you know, with their phones, with going out, doing things with other kids. There's just so many alternatives to sports now that sometimes you wonder, like, you're thinking, like, why do they not care about this as much as we do, as the coaches do? And it's just, you know, sometimes it's hard to get those kids to perform at their best.
Could you be a quarterback coach in the NFL?
I'd like to think I could. I think I'm good with people. You have to understand. You have to understand personalities. You have to understand people. I think I could. I had the opportunity a couple of years ago. I've talked with y'all about that before. I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to go out and have an interview with somebody, but, you know, just it wasn't the right timing in my life to do that. It wasn't the right season because my kids are still in school and I didn't want to have to drag them everywhere. But I think I could. I know I could relate to the guys and I played, so I think I'd be pretty good, but you never know. I mean, and nowadays these guys, I just said something to my wife about some of the things that go on the sideline, and I just don't, you know, because I'm kind of an old school guy. I was with Coach Donnelly, and I don't know how I would react to some of the things that happen nowadays with, you know, guys. I feel as though nowadays, Joe, that guys feel like that the game owes them something, and we owe the game that the guys that played it and the guys that are playing it now, we owe the game everything. And, you know, it's just that sense of entitlement, and I would like to think I could, and I would like to think I could relate, and I know I could, but, you know, it would be nice to see, or it'd be interesting to see how it'd react to certain situations.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey, Antonio Brown, on and on and on. Kelly Holcomb with us. 15 years in the NFL, Colts, Browns, Bills, Eagles, Vikings, and along the way, you were either a starter with a backup, obviously, or the backup to the starter, and you were always in that mix of, well, you know, and you know what's that old saying, the most popular player on the team is the backup quarterback. The dynamic of that, knowing, you know, you're the starter, the getting the support from a backup who wants that job, and you we're seeing it right here, right now with Marcus Mariota, his struggles this past Sunday. You bring in Tannehill for the injury insurance, certainly, but also, I think, for the Mariota play insurance as well. That's I couldn't imagine, and I know it started right away with you and Tim Couch in Cleveland, the dynamic of the when you have two quarterbacks and both of them pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's kind of tough, and I really didn't realize it, Greg, until you get out of the situation. But, you know, when Tim and I were fighting for that job, and then, you know, he was a starter for the first couple of years, and then I ended up starting that 1 year, and like I said, I didn't realize it, but the way that our coach was doing it, he was kind of playing each other against each other, and you know, if one guy played bad, then he could bring the other guy in, and that's just not where you have to be mentally. You have to know that the coach is behind you, and I think that's a tough deal. That's a tough situation. Now, you know, Marcus had a little different situation than I've had. He came in as the first round pick, and I guess, was he the number one pick?
Number two.
The number two pick. So he was the guy. He was a franchise guy. So it was a little bit different, but you know, that's tough when you bring in another guy, Ryan Tannehill, who was a first round pick as well, and. You know, with all the struggles and that Marcus has had with injuries, you know, hey, you got to – but that's what this business is about. You got to go out and you got to perform. And if you're not performing, you're getting paid a lot of money. If you're not performing, then, you know, the coach has got to do something because coaches don't stay very long. And, you know, the most important position, I think, in all of sports is the quarterback. And if you're not playing well, they're going to bring in competition for you if they can get some good competition. And they got some good competition with Ryan Tannehill, who they know that can come in and play ball. So, you know, competition breeds some good things. But, you know, some people don't like competition sometimes. And, you know, we'll just have to see how it goes. But, you know, you got to be dependable. That's what an NFL quarterback has to be. You got to be dependable. You got to make the right decisions. You got to focus on the game. You got to do all the right things. You got to be dependable with injuries too, and sometimes you have some some bad luck with that. But you know we'll see how it goes with Mariota.
Well, and obviously you were talking, and I'm not going to put the words in your mouth. I'll say it with Butch Jones and what he was doing with you guys at the Browns. But certainly it seems like Vrabel has played it the right way. That he's been steadfast. That Mariota's the guy. He's the starter, and Tannehill's the backup. And it's you know that's the way it is. And you know somewhere along the line, the performance I think will take care of itself. And those decisions, you know, not counting any injuries, of course, but just performance only. It is a performance league, and he's in that fifth year, that final year. And so where this franchise is at a crossroads with its quarterback, because I think Marcus Mariota is at a crossroads.
Well, I mean, that's the ultimate deal in professional sports is winning, Greg. I mean, yep. You know that. I mean, it's winning. It's performing. It's getting out there on the field, and you got to play good. You got to make the plays when the time gets tough. When it gets down late in the fourth quarter, you're the one's got to make the plays. I mean, you look at Tom Brady, you look at Peyton, you look at all those guys, Drew Brees. You look at all the great quarterbacks, you know, Aaron Rodgers. You got to make the plays when the time depends upon that. And, you know, it's a performance-driven league. And if you're not performing, I mean, they're giving a lot of money out nowadays. But and sometimes, you know, that's a lot of pressure on guys. And sometimes guys can't handle that when you get so much money at people say, man, he got a lot of money to play, and I'm like, absolutely. But you know what? There comes a lot of stress with that money too, and you know it's you know you can set your life, you can set your family up for life, and you can set a lot of other people up for life, yourself up for life. But there comes a lot of stress with that too. So when you go out on that football field, you have to perform, and if you're not doing it, then the coach has to do something because you know the players know, the coaches know. And they know what's going on behind closed doors. And, you know, they're all going to say the right things in the media, but everybody in that building knows what's going on. And the players are the first to know, and the players know who they want. and know who they feel comfortable with. And a coach has to have a beat on that, and I'm sure that Vrabel does.
Do you subscribe to the fact that Mariota is not a leader because he doesn't yell at teammates and get animated and flail his arms and everything? Do you buy into that?
I don't know if I buy into that, Joe. I mean, but it is, it's tough because the quarterback is the focal point. And, it's hard for a guy that is, if he's like that, and I've heard that he is, and you're saying that as well, but, it's hard for a guy that is really silent. I know you can lead by example, but, as a quarterback, sometimes, man, you got to be boisterous and you got to get on the guys and, you got to say what needs to be said in meetings sometimes, and that's, some people are not like that, and I'm not saying that it can't happen, but the good ones are they're very leadership-driven, they're very leadership-oriented, and I think that they have to be vocal, and if things are not right, you have to step up and you have to say things, because, I can remember when I played, I was, I've never been scared to do that. Peyton was the same way. I hear Tom Brady's the same way. The guy's, not the greatest quarterback. I don't know if you can argue that with all the Super Bowls that he's been to. But, he leads and he directs that ship. And you've got to have somebody at the quarterback position who's willing to do that.
That's my thing is if, it's a given. It's a known. If you're the quarterback, you're automatically the leader because that's the most prized possession, important position in all sports. And then you automatically should know that you're going to lead the team. So to say, I'm just part of the team, I don't believe in that. I believe that you are the leader because you're the quarterback.
Yep, man, I'm along with you. I mean, I know that there's – but like I said, you look at all the great quarterbacks throughout history. I mean, they've been great leaders. And, that's one thing that was God-given to me. I remember stepping in the huddle and saying some choice words when we stepped on the field when I was a true freshman playing for Coach Donnelly against TSU. And, you either have it or you don't. And you have to have the – as Coach Donnelly, you say you have to have the bell cow at that position. And it's just – it's really tough when when you're a silent guy. I'm not saying that he can't be done, but I've never really seen it, Joe. I've never seen a guy that is a quarterback that's not been the vocal leader of his football team.
Kelly Holcomb with us, MTSU legend. I don't know. I never know what you're into these days with all your kids going in every different direction and everything. But have you had any chance to check out Asher O'Hara? I do believe Brent Stock still followed you at MTSU, correct?
That's tough, Greg.
Have you had a chance to check out Asher O'Hara any of these three games?
I've watched a little bit. I don't keep up with it much, but I did go over there. We had an alumni Saturday over there when they played TSU, so I did go over there and watch him. And I've heard some guys say Wes Counts told me that he thought he was going to be pretty good. And I kind of like. I know he's not very big, which is like what I was when I came to college. He's not very big, but it seems like the kid makes plays. He makes good decisions. He can run the football. He obviously runs the football better than I did because I didn't run it. I just threw it away if I couldn't go nowhere. So, but he seems like he's accurate with the ball. He makes good decisions. And, he's a young guy, and there's room to grow.
Kelly, always fun catching up with you, man. Take care.
Guys, I appreciate it, man. Thank y'all.
All right, Kelly Holcomb. Great guy on top of everything else.
Smart guy, funny, and he stuck around the NFL for a while because he was talented and good.
He was either the starter or the backup that should be the starter,
right?
Every which of the way, and certainly in Cleveland, Butch Jones. He won't come out and call him by name.
Not Butch Jones.
Not Butch Davis.
Butch Davis.
Butch Jones.
No, it happens.
It would have. Well, Butch Davis, obviously.
It's like
Davis.
You know
the coach at FIU, Butch Davis.
It's like when Steve Fisher led the Titans to the Super Bowl in '99.
No, listen. Okay, fine. You know what I'm talking about, Butch Jones, Butch Davis. Oh, by the way, MTSU visitors always brought to you by Bud Moore State Farm Insurance, 3245 Franklin Road, right there. Office hours 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Hey, State Farm Insurance, auto, home, property, life, health, rental. You can bundle any or all of those above: banking products, annuities, State Farm Experience. 1972, Bud Moore's. I've had two homes in Rutherford County since I've lived in Middle Tennessee, and both of them have been insured by Bud Moore State Farm Insurance, and just a great guy on top of everything else. As a matter of fact, when I was in Sam's yesterday in the borough picking up food to take home, there was Bud holding court with all of his MTSU guys.
Nice.
So anyway, Bud, love Bud. 615-893-1417, 893-1417, or budmorris.biz.